that is an honor for us as a church, but I spoke to Representative Ed Thompson the other day at a funeral that I did. And when our first church opened over there, Steve Bonin, who was state rep, flew a flag in honor of our church at the state capitol. And Ed Thompson has done the same thing. And it says the state of Texas House of Representatives certifies that the Texas flag herewith presented to Pearland New Harvest Christian Fellowship by State Representative Ed Thompson was flown at the capital of the sovereign state of Texas on the 30th of May, 2019. Amen. 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 Hey, hand me, you don't sit down yet. Hand me the little clicker there. Well, we are so blessed that you guys are here today, and we are honored. You know, I shared with Pam this morning, I've shared with Arnold yesterday, and you know, God has a message for us today that is totally different. And when I wrote in my journal this morning at the house, when I prayed, I said, Lord, is this really the message that you want me to give? And it was yes. And I said, then it's more of a prophetic message than it ever is just a message to our church. Pam and I have had the privilege to be the pastors of this church for 20 years, going on 21 years. Amen. Amen. It's a blessing. Amen. And it's also a privilege that we have in our church 23 different nationalities in this church. Amen. Amen. This is kind of going to be what heaven's going to look like. Some of us won't come walking in with sore backs and stuff, but you know, it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful place. But God wants us to, I believe, be mindful of some of the issues that are facing us today, and honestly, what could destroy us if we're not careful. And I titled the message today, Beware of the Trojan Horse. Because in every story, there's a story behind that story. And it's important for us to look at the story that is written deep within truly where we are today. Would somebody just get a chair for Pam and she can sit up here? So, with that said, I don't know if you know the story of the Trojan horse, but the Trojan horse is a story from the Trojan War about the subterfuge that the Greeks used to enter the independent city of Troy and win the war. In the canonical version, after a fruitless 10-year siege, 10 years they tried, the Greeks constructed a huge wooden horse and hid a select force of men inside, including Odysseus. Now, the Greeks pretended to sail away, and the Trojans pulled the horse into the city as a victory trophy. And then that night, the Greek force creeped out of the horse, opened the gates for the rest of the Greek army, which had sailed back under the cover of night, and the Greeks entered in and they destroyed the city of Troy and they ended the war. Here's where I share with our church today that you and I have to be extremely careful of the Trojan horse. because socialism lies at wait in the belly of the horse. Now, I know that some go, well, this is a political message, and I promise you it is not. It is a biblical message that has to have biblical ramifications if we are going to be the people God has called us to be. John 10:10 says that the thief comes only. There is only one reason, church, that the thief comes, and he comes to steal and kill and destroy. Our Lord says, though, I came that you might have life and have it in abundance. America is not living that way. But yet our Lord said, this is how I want you to live. I've came so you could do this. And the only way, church, that Satan can get anything of what Christ died to give is if you and I become complacent and we give it away. And I got to tell you that America is giving it away. Not because they want to, but because they've come or become complacent. 1 Peter says, be of sober spirit and be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking who he might devour. When you get up every day, you have to understand that there is a satanic being that is prowling around seeking who he might devour. Now, he can get us if we fall prey, or we can stand on what's most important. The one scripture says you can build your house on sand. When the wind comes, it'll blow down, or you can build it upon the rock. And no matter what comes our way, that house will stand. Now, the horse changed the focus during their turning, their back on the very thing that was going to destroy them. They had no idea. They bring in the horse. They're believing that the horse is a victory. And they had no idea what was inside the horse. And they turned their back on the very thing that was going to destroy them, and their Christian church is doing the same. What are the major issues today that everybody is focusing on? Immigration is number one. Deportation, abortion, child abduction, sex trafficking, the president, and the media. None of those are easy solutions at all. The Bible tells us there are certain things that we are to do, and those are the things that I believe that will change our lives. And if all Christians got together, it would change the life of Christianity as a whole. Again, 1 Peter says, be of sober spirit and be on the alert. For one reason, because our adversary prowls. He is in search of something and somebody to put down. And we cannot allow the conditions and the mindset of this world to move us where we become so complacent that we lose our focus. See, our focus has to be on the rock. Our focus doesn't have to be on the other nonsense that's going on in the world. Now, Moses answered his people. They're leaving. They've been in captivity for 400 and something years. And Moses answered the people. They're complaining. They're moaning. They're groaning. You know, I'd rather stayed in Egypt than you taking me out here. And I'm telling you that God's going to take his church and he's going to make us uncomfortable. Because when we get comfortable, we become complacent. But God's going, I don't want you to get comfortable. There is work to be done today. And when you get comfortable, you don't do it. So Moses is talking to his people and he says, don't be afraid. Turn on the news today, and the news will do everything it can to stir up fear within the listener. But Moses said, do not be afraid, but he said, stand firm. When we as Christians have done everything that we can do, the Bible says, stand. And I've shared this with y'all before. A snake can't see, but he can smell. And if you're sitting over there running around, the scent of the person that runs, he goes to the scent. But if we stand still and we do not move, because we're standing on the foundation of our God, then any serpent that wants to can come by. And there's no dust being raised. And the Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee. So he says, stand firm and you will see the deliverance that the Lord will bring to you today. The Egyptians, the enemy, that you see today, you will never see again. And the Lord will fight for you, but he says, but you have to be still. The Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move. He said, raise your staff. Stretch it out. And take it and put it over the sea. And the sea will divide so the Israelites can go through on dry ground. And then it says, I will, and that's the Lord speaking. Church, we live in a new covenant. We don't live under the old covenant anymore. Our Lord has done everything that he will ever do. It is written in the book. It is complete. It is finished. He has done his part. But it will take you and me to do our part. And I think the Lord looks at America today to go, I don't understand. I sent my son to die on the cross so that you might live. I took back everything that Satan took from you, and now you're giving it back. And it doesn't make any sense. We are at war, but we are not at war with a political party. This is not a Democrat against Republican fight. This is a worldly fight against a spiritual fight. And you and I have to act accordingly. Our independence is found in God and God alone. Give God a hand clap of praise on that one. Our independence has never and will never be because of some political party. Now, here's where y'all might go, well, this is political. No, this is truth. There are 90 different Muslims who are running for office. And they're running. It is said that their inspiration is to insulate America with the Muslim faith. And I'm telling you that that is the mission field that you and I ought to go after. It only takes 243 people to absolutely change the face of America. And if we cannot convert, and if we allow a group of individuals to come in and change the face of America, we will lose what we have. And it doesn't make me fearful, but it makes me angry. I am concerned about my children. I am concerned about my children's children. I am concerned about your children and the grandchildren that are in this church. Because if we do not take a stand, not on hatred, but on Christian love, we will lose America and have nothing to stand upon. Amen. The most frequently asked question concerning the condition of America is this: what are we to do? Well, you know, one of the candidates said the other day, you know, I've been in office 54 years. Well, I guarantee you the last 4 years didn't mess America up that bad, okay? If you've been in office 54 years, you're part of the problem. And that's on the earthly side of it. But let's push this over here and let's look at what God has for you and for me and our family. First of all, what are we to do? The Bible says that God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but he gave us a spirit of power, of love, and self-discipline. That's what God has given to you and me. And in Matthew 10:16, he says, behold. Now, church, think about this. He says, I am going to send you out as sheep. And I'm going to send you in the midst of wolves. So, be shrewd as serpents, but be innocent as doves. See, there is such a great challenge in the midst of where we are today, that the world has now become fearful. We've almost become like a camel who would stick his head in the sand and go, I really don't want to look at what's going on. But you see, we did that when prayer was taken out of school. We've done that through so much stuff. And Christ is gone. I want to get Christ back in everything that we do. And I believe we can if we do what Scripture tells us to do. In the book of Romans, it says, for rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise for the same. And even though our political system and our political leaders are corrupt, we need to pray for them. There are Democrats in this church and there are Republicans in this church. I did not care for Obama, but I prayed for him. There are tons of people that do not care for Trump, and all I can tell you to do is pray for him. And this is why. God appoints the leaders of our country. He's not in there because we voted. He's in there because God put him in there. Obama was in there because God put him in there. And what are you and I to do from there? Ephesians says our struggle is not with flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities. It's against the powers of this dark world. It's against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Why do you think immigration is such a mess? Because of evil. Why do you think we can't come up with a solution? Because of evil. Why are we stirred up from point A to point Z? Because of evil. And our fight is not a worldly fight, it is a spiritual fight, and the church needs to get on their knees to get up to God. The Bible tells us, as difficult as it is, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you can prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Go to Facebook, which I'm just about to get off of it. It is nothing but an instrument to stir up hate. See, what we need to do, instead of printing something out of frustration, and I've done it and still do, is that we need to get down on our knees. We need to start praying to God to go, God, this is such a mess, only you can clear it up. We live in a democratic society, and we can't change the condition of this world through hateful words or actions, but only through love and prayer and doing our part to put God back into the system, not just for us, but for our children and our children. I share with you guys as a church today that there are many people that have grown up Republican, many people have grown up Democrats. The Tea Party came, and there are liberals, and there's all different kinds of parties. But I got to tell you that there's only one answer to anybody that runs for office. Are they following the book? Are they doing what God asked them to do? Or are their emotions based upon themselves and their personal agendas? And if they are, then they shouldn't be a part of our system. But if they follow the Word of God, and if they do what God tells us to do, then those are the people that can help us change the course of history. In Deuteronomy, it says, so you shall observe to do just as the Lord your God has commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right or to the left. You shall walk in all the way which the Lord your God has commanded you. Why? So that you may live, and that it may be well with you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which you will possess. God is telling America, this is how we're to live. God said, don't go to the left, don't go to the right. Follow what I ask you to do, and your life will change, and the country will change, and the people will change. You have heard this 1,000 times, but I got to tell you that if God's people who are called by his name could find it deep within themselves to humble themselves and pray and seek his face and turn from our wicked ways, he will hear from heaven. Our sins will be forgiven because of the works of the cross. But then he will heal our land. But look at the last piece of this. If we do that, if we become a church that is willing to get on our knees, to humble ourselves, to seek, to go, Lord, I have messed up so much. If we're willing to do that, he said, my eyes will be open and my ears will be attentive to the prayers offered in this place. God told Moses, tell your people to stop complaining. And I'm telling us today, stop complaining. And if you don't like something, get on your knees. Go to the one who can make the change. A change that will be everlasting, so that we will have a world that we can give our children and our grandchildren, a world that will be a Christian world, a world where they will go back into school and they will praise and pray to God, a school where they will be able to put their hand on their chest and pray to the flag that so many people have given their lives for. We need to turn this place back. But God is the one that's going to do it. And I'm telling our church today, the complaining stops. And just as Moses said to his people, and God said to Moses, just tell them to go. And I'm telling you guys, let's go. And let's change this world for the cause of Christ. Amen. Give God a hand clap of praise.